Folk, we're very glad to see each one at our morning harvest service. We welcome you to the Lord's house in the Saviour's great name. I was thinking of those words that are found in James chapter 1, verse 17. Very appropriate for harvest time. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And we're here today to worship the Lord. We're thankful for the day of worship, but especially we're here to give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for every good and perfect gift that he has bestowed upon us in the harvest, again, that has been safely gathered in. We're going to sing together the words of our opening praise. It's the words of the second paraphrase, O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed. Very appropriate words. Who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led. So the words of the second paraphrase, the words are on the screens, and we're going to invite you to stand as we sing all of the verses together, please. Let's just bow together. We'll seek the Lord in prayer. Want to lift our hearts to the Lord today in worship and in thanksgiving. We think of the words of what we call the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And we can look back on this year, look back at the whole year right to the last harvest, and know the Lord has provided for us. Our families have never been in want. The Lord has given to us every day all those things that we have required. So we have much cause to praise and worship the Lord today. Heavenly Father, we seek thee in prayer. We lift our hearts to thee. We want to pray that even now you'll prepare our hearts for this service. We want to pray that you'll open our hearts to receive those things that you would say to us. We want to pray, Father, that our hearts might be right with thee. Remember, the scriptures tell us of David that he was a man after God's own heart. We would say, Father, in the words of the hymn writer, I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow. On me, dear Lord, a heart like this bestow. We ask thee, Father, even to touch our hearts in the service today. As we look around us in thy house, we see, Father, the evidences of the harvest. We want to praise thee, Father. We're conscious of how good you are to us. We look back, Father, and this year we look back in all the days of our life. We've never been in want. You've provided for us faithfully and bountifully. We can say with Jeremiah, great is thy faithfulness. So we want to come, Father, with praise, with adoration. We want to pour forth our deepest thanks to thee. We're mindful, Father, of so many across the earth that are in great need. We're conscious, Father, of lands, even where our missionaries labour, where there's great poverty. We pray, Father, touch our hearts. Help us not to be hardened or indifferent to the needs of others. We pray that you'll help us as your people. Help us, Father, even as a church, to seek to do what we can to help them in their circumstances too. And Lord, we do give thee praise for the harvest gathered in. We think of the days in which we're found, days of great challenges. We think of the uncertainties that there are, even economically. But Lord, we want to praise thee for the fulfillment of your promise that while the earth remains, there would be that seed time and harvest. We're conscious as the harvest is gathered in, it's a testimony to the truthfulness, the faithfulness of your word, the sureness of the promise of the scriptures. And Lord, we thank you for that, for encouraging our hearts. We praise thee for helping the farmers, the gardeners through this year with all the challenges that there's been. We thank you for your blessing upon their labours. They plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land. But Father, we acknowledge that it is fed and watered by thine almighty hand. And Lord, we want to pray you'll give us thankful hearts. We pray that every day we'll be thankful for the many blessings that you shower down upon us. Thank you for the blessing of being here today in thy house. We do thank you, Father, for each one present, giving us the health and strength to be in thy house on this day of praise, this day of thanksgiving. We want to thank you for our fellowship. Pray that you'll bless these harvest thanksgiving services. Come amongst us, Father. May we know the Lord to be here. May we even know the Lord drawing near to us. We ask thee, Father, to break the bread of life to us. The psalmist spoke of bread that strengthens the heart of man. And Lord, we need the bread of life. We need the bread of your word to come and strengthen us spiritually in our walk with thee. Thank you for your servant that has come amongst us this morning. We pray that he'll feel at ease at home amongst us. Pray that he'll be blessed by this meeting. Pray the hand of God will be upon your servant as he ministers to us today. Give him just that assurance in his heart that he is the word of God for this meeting. We pray, Father, that you would speak through him today to all of our hearts. We want to ask thee, Father, give us ears to hear. Help us to be attentive. Pray that you'll shut us in with yourself. We pray that you'll close out, Father, from our hearts and minds, all of those things that would be a distraction to us. We're mindful, Father, of those that are not able to be here today. We think of the senior members of our congregation. We thank you for their faithfulness over many years. Lord, be near to them. Meet their every need. Those that are unwell at this time, we're mindful of Mrs. Gillespie. Pray that the hand of God will rest upon your sister. We pray that you would know just your strengthening hand, know the Lord drawing near and undertaking for her just at this time. Mindful, Father, of those ministers that have been unwell the Reverend Smith, the Reverend Goods, continue to remember the Reverend Fitzsimons, the Reverend Wilson as well. We think of our brother McLeod also. Keep your hand upon him for good. We remember our sister Miss Walsh recovering from surgery. Pray that she will know the healing touch of God resting upon her. And Lord, we ask thee to be mindful of the cause of God in this land of ours. We're in great need spiritually. Lord, we're conscious of the barren days in which we live spiritually. We're asking thee to pour out your spirit. I will pour waters upon him that is thirsty, floods upon the dry ground. And spiritually, Lord, our land is dry. We're thirsty for the blessing of God. We ask thee to bestow it upon us. We're mindful, Father, too, as we think of the physical harvest. We're conscious of the spiritual harvest, even all across the earth. Remember those that have gone forth, even from this congregation. Remember, sister, that labours there in Asia. We're mindful of the gardeners, the halls, and their labours so far away in Australia. Thank you for the faithfulness of these your servants that have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. Lord, encourage them, we ask, in all the work that they seek to do to extend the kingdom of Christ. Remember all our missionaries. And Lord, help us even today to think of the fields that are white unto harvest. We pray that there will be, even in days to come, the sending forth of more labourers into the great harvest fields of the earth. So Lord, abide with us. Come down upon us now. We commit the remainder of the meeting to thee. And Lord, we're asking that this will be a time together in thy house when we sit at thy feet and we rejoice over the word of God as those that find great spoil. So answer these our prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We take the opportunity to bid you all welcome to the Lord's house on this, the day of our harvest Thanksgiving services. We want to welcome you all. We're glad to see each one that has been able to gather with us. It's encouraging to see the house of the Lord so well filled on this Sabbath morning. We welcome the boys and girls too, the young people. Remember, we're always glad of your presence with us. And any that are visiting with us today for the harvest services, we want you to know that we're especially glad that you've come along to join with us. We take the opportunity to thank everyone that helped with the decorating of the church for the harvest. It's a vital part of these Harvest Thanksgiving services. You've done a great job. The church looks very well, very, very appropriate. Take the time even after to come up and get a little look, especially at some of the implements. There's a thresher, the old fiddle, there's a cart behind me. And the Macaree boys, Nathan and Joyce, very kindly have loaned us quite an array of farm machinery down here as well. So we want to thank everyone that took time to help in the preparation for the harvest. Keep in mind the services tonight. 6 o'clock is the prayer meeting downstairs in the church hall. 6:30, the gospel service. The preacher this evening is the Reverend James Porter, the minister of the Enniskillen congregation, very well known to us for many years in the neighbouring congregation of Market Hill. The singer this evening is Mrs. Carla Hunter from the Macrofell Church. Carla was Greg to her maiden name, Carla Gregg, so you'll be familiar with Carla. She has been with us a number of times in the past. We're looking forward to her visit with us again tonight. Just to remind you, we're taking building fund offerings today at both services. If you'd like to put your building fund gift in the plates at the door, remember to mark it clearly for the building fund of the church. The meeting's in the incoming week, in the will of the Lord, Tuesday night at 6:45. Both the children's bright hours, the meeting here in the church hall, and also the meeting down in the band hall in Killalea. Do help the workers, the leaders of those meetings. Do all that you can to encourage the children from your family, from your community to come along. We're very thankful to all that are involved in those meetings. and we want to encourage them in their labours. The midweek service, Wednesday at 8 o'clock, I'll be here to preach at that meeting myself. We encourage you to come and join with us as we lift our hearts to the Lord for his help and his blessing. Remember too, on Wednesday, the broadcasts on Radio Star Country, those are going out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 981 medium wave. I'm bringing the messages each of the Wednesday afternoons in October. We want to encourage you just to continue to pray the Lord will use those broadcasts. Friday night is the youth fellowship meeting in the church hall. The speaker this Friday night is Mr. Matthew Muldrew. So we're glad that Matthew's going to come along and bring a word. And we want to encourage as many of the young people as possible to be present to hear Matthew as he speaks on Friday evening. The service is next Lord's Day, the 10th of October. Sunday school and Bible classes, 10:40 in the morning. The morning service at 11:30. The preacher next Sunday morning is one of our licentiate ministers, Mr. Matthew Eccles. I'll be down in Lisburn next Sabbath morning preaching at the Harvest service there. So remember our brother, Mr. Eccles. Come along and encourage him with your presence. The evening service here at 6:30 in the evening, preceded by the half hour of prayer. And in the will of the Lord, I'll be back again to preach at the evening service myself. Just remind the elders, there is to be a session meeting. The next session meeting of the church is on Monday night week. That's Monday the 11th of October at 7:30. Just to mention to you some updates from the presbytery meeting that was held via Zoom on Friday night past. Just to keep you updated a little with some developments in the wider denomination and to encourage you for your prayers, there's going to be a change in the editor of the Vision magazine. The Reverend Colin Mercer, who's been responsible for that for a number of years, is going to be standing down from the end of the year. And the Reverend Patrick Baker, the newly installed minister in the Newton Arch Church, will be taking on that responsibility from January of 2022 in the will of the Lord. So remember, Mr. Baker, the Reverend Mercer certainly has done a first-class job in producing the magazine in addition to his many other responsibilities. Also, a very significant development at Presbytery on Friday night was the approval of plans for the new Whitfield College building that's to be erected at Tandragee. The Tandragee Church kindly have given land that they own adjacent to the church property there for the building of a new college facility. So the plans of that were approved by the Presbytery on Friday night. It's a vital project. The Reverend Nelson, the principal of the college, gave the report, made a very encouraging presentation of pictures and plans of the new facilities. It will provide excellent facilities, not just for the college, but for the wider denomination, for the presbytery committees and boards and so forth will be able to meet there. There's going to be facilities for that as well. So they'll now be moving forward, following the approval on Friday night, seeking planning permission, and then they'll move on to the building of those new facilities. So do please keep that very much in your prayers. As a denomination, we want to unite behind the work of the college and the progress that's going to be made there. So pray that they will know the Lord's help and direction and blessing to be upon that. Just some calls that were accepted on Friday night. Mr. Stephen Nelson, one of the students just graduated, has accepted the call to the Rasharkin congregation. Some of you will remember that his father, the Reverend Timothy Nelson, was the minister there formerly a number of years ago. Mr. Simon Anderson accepted the call to the Auchnacloy congregation. Simon was in the position of having had two calls. He had also received a call to Kaskiri, but he felt the Lord leading him to take up the work there in Auchnacloy. And Mr. Philip Knowles in the Lewis Church in the south of England, he accepted the call to London. The Reverend Baker moved from London just over the summer, so there's been a very short vacancy there. The London congregation met this week and called Mr. Knowles and he accepted that at the presbytery meeting. So pray for all of these brethren, all of these developments. We're thankful that the Lord has been guiding and providing the ministers for the vacant congregations. Just to remind you again of the forms for everyone to receive for the data protection policy. The forms contain all the details that you will need to know. There's the privacy notice for you to fill out, and then tear off the part that you fill out and sign and return that part. But if you could hold on to the other part of the form, other part of the leaflet that contains the details, just that you can have those to refer to as a reminder at any time. Keep in mind that there's the family packs for those families with children. So we just ask if you could bring those back as soon as possible. If you need any help or any queries, see our brother, Mr. Billy McCrum, about that. And we do thank those who have returned the forms already. Just to remind you to continue to pray for Mrs. Gillespie. We're glad that she's home, settled into home again. She's very pleased to be home. I was speaking to her on the phone just yesterday evening. Very thankful for the prayers of the congregation, has asked us to express that to you. The Reverend David Smith got home from hospital during the past week, so we're very glad of that progress. Continue to remember him, the Reverend Goods, the Reverend Fitzsimons, and the Reverend Wilson as well in their recovery. As a congregation, we want to sympathise with Mr. Cecil Spence on the death of his youngest sister, Mrs. Doris Arthur. Doris was called home to be with the Lord on Tuesday past. She was 82 years of age. The funeral service was on Friday afternoon past. And we do rejoice that Doris knew the Lord, came to know the Lord many years ago. Doris and her husband, Ronnie, have been frequent attenders at our church services, gospel missions, special services over the years, and we have appreciated that. In fact, Ronnie told us at the funeral on Friday afternoon that it was Doris that led him to the Lord a number of years ago. So we do extend our deepest sympathy to Cecil and to the family circle and also to Ronnie, and we want to assure them of our prayers and of our support for the days that lie ahead. Finally, we take the opportunity to congratulate Mr. Brooks Allen and Ashley Johnson on their recent engagement. We're delighted for them, and as a congregation, we assure them of our prayers and wish them the Lord's blessing for the days that lie ahead. We're going to come to another hymn. We'll lift our hearts to the Lord. It's a great harvest hymn. We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. So we'll stand together again, please, as we worship the Lord in the singing of these verses together. Amen. Do you remember the service tonight? We encourage you to come again along and join with us. Do what you can to bring others as well onto the sound of the gospel. At the end of the service tonight, you'll have the opportunity to take home with you the various bits and pieces that you have brought and distribute out any of the food, the vegetables, the fruit and so on. Just to emphasize that, especially the fruit, before you eat any of it, it would be best to give it a good wash, keeping in mind the COVID, and also keep in mind that we do use the fogging machine between services and so forth, and people coming and going from the church. Just to emphasize to you the importance of doing that. We're delighted today to welcome the minister for Hillsborough congregation, the Reverend Ian Kenny, as our guest preacher at the Harvest Service this morning. Our brother was formerly the minister for over 20 years in Dromore, knew the Lord's blessing on his work and his ministry there. He's recently stood down as the chairman of the Presbytery's Finance Committee, a very important role. He did a first-class job in that responsibility. He's now passed that on to the Reverend Peter McIntyre, the minister of the Clogher Valley Church. Our brother's had an early start today. He's one of the ministers that's involved in the prison ministry, so he conducted a service at 9 o'clock this morning in the McGabbery prison and has come here directly from that, so keep him in your prayers in that regard as well. Like myself, he originally comes from the Martyrs congregation. He worked in Hughes Tool Company in Belfast there and knew my father before his sudden home calling those many years ago. So we've shared many years of good fellowship together. We had a good trip to Africa back in 2017. He came out with the Mission Board delegation. That time, whenever we were officially receiving in the Emmanuel Christian School, our brother came out to represent the presbytery. And he and I shared a ride on a Boda Boda together, the motorbike, the two of us on the back of the Boda Boda together. So that was quite a sight to behold at that time. So we welcome our brother warmly, and we look forward to the message he's going to bring to us just now.
Let us turn together in God's Word to the Old Testament Scriptures, the book of Ecclesiastes, and to the chapter 11. Ecclesiastes, the chapter 11. As you're turning up the portion, I want to thank your minister for his words of welcome. And it is a privilege for me to be able to come today to the Harvest Thanksgiving service and to renew fellowship with your minister, and also renewing fellowship with God's people here. And our brother referred to some happy memories that we've had together over many years, and it's nice to be able to come and to share together in the service here this morning. I would congratulate those who have helped to decorate the church as well. Very beautiful display, and we've been able to admire your handiwork, and we're nice to be able to share even in that this morning as well. We're turning to Ecclesiastes, the chapter 11, and we're going to read together from the first verse. Ecclesiastes 11 and the verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God, who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they shall both be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years, and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of the chapter, and may the Lord bless this public reading of his own precious and infallible word to each of our hearts. I would like to take as my text for this morning the very first verse of this chapter. And we read there, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. With this verse before us, let us just take a moment to still our hearts before the Lord and to ask for his help in the ministry of his word. Our gracious God, our loving heavenly Father, we do thank and praise thee for thy presence with us already, even in our coming together here. And we thank thee, our Father, for thy precious word that we're able to read and to meditate upon. And we pray that we would know that needed help from heaven, the infilling of thy Spirit, and that even now, our Father, thou would so shut us into thyself that every child of God would hear with that profit to their souls, thou wouldst build us up in our most holy and precious faith. And if there be any that are far from thee, those that may even be unsaved and unconverted this day, O Lord, speak with that voice that wakes the dead, cause a people to hear, and even this day bring great glory and honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We offer this our prayer in his most precious and peerless name. Amen. Well, the words before us today were penned by King Solomon under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And it is accepted that by the time he came to write Ecclesiastes, he was now an old man. Of course, Solomon wrote other books in the Bible. You would know the Song of Songs or the Song of Solomon. And it is said that he wrote the Song of Solomon in his youth. And of course, he wrote as well the book of Proverbs. And it's accepted that he wrote the book of Proverbs when he was middle-aged. But when you come to Ecclesiastes, he's now an old man. Most of his life is over. He's at the even tide of life, and he's looking back on his life, and he's beginning to reflect upon the years that he has lived, and he's wanting to evaluate life, and then he's giving his counsel, and he's speaking words of counsel, most especially to young people and to those who, generally speaking, would have their lives before them. And yet when you think of this man who's speaking to us today in these words, he's a man who had it all. If he was looked upon in the eyes of the world, they would be looking at him as a great success because he had achieved everything. That which multitudes today would be pursuing after and would have that aspiration to attain, Solomon had it. He's known for his wisdom. And when you think of the wisdom that Solomon possessed, it's spoken of in 1 Kings chapter 4, the verse 30 and 31. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. And so here's Solomon, and he had that wisdom. Of course, it was a God-given wisdom, and it made him wiser than all men. In 1 Kings 4 and the verse 34, it says, "And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom." And so they wanted to come to hear that wisdom for themselves. And one of those who visited Solomon was the Queen of Sheba. And here we could find that she would give her verdict in chapter 10 of 1 Kings. And she said there in the verse 7 of 1 Kings and the chapter 10. "And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon." Verse 7, "Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard." Now, there was the Queen of Sheba, and there was her verdict, and she had heard of the fame of the wisdom and the prosperity of Solomon, but she said, "The half was not told me." She couldn't believe what she witnessed. You think of the riches that he possessed. Now, the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. Verse 24 of 1 Kings 10, "And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart." A man who had attained this great wisdom and also the riches that were on display. My, it put him, by today's measure, a multimillionaire, maybe even a billionaire. He's into the region there of the Bill Gates territory. Oh, he was a man with such wealth. And we know, of course, he had that great power as well because he was the king. And he's able to occupy the throne of his father David, and he had that power to govern. And so if you were looking on, you would say of Solomon, well, he had some life, he had everything there. He had the wisdom, he had the riches, he had the power, and we know he had the pleasures of this world, in fact, all that this world could offer. Solomon had it all. But you know, as he comes now as an old man, and he's reflecting on it all, he's looking back, he comes to a conclusion as he writes here the book of Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and the verse 2, he said this, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And all the things that he had and all that he possessed, he came to that conclusion, it's all vanity. In chapter 2 and the verse 1, "I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity." The word vanity there meaning empty. So what is the message of Ecclesiastes? What is the preacher? What is the Solomon wanting to say to us today? He's saying that life without the Lord is empty. Life without the Lord is of no value. Life without the Lord is vain. Solomon's looking back here, and he has regrets, and he's lamenting years that he wasted. Therefore, it's good for us to think of the things that Solomon would want to pass on to us by way of his experience. He's giving us counsel here. And he's giving it most especially to young people. He has that desire that they would not make the mistakes that he made. Sometimes it's difficult for young people to appreciate the older giving them advice, and they have to experience for themselves. Then they'll hear those words, "I told you so, I told you so." Now here's the advice of an old man under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And he's wanting young people to listen. And he's wanting young people to learn about the real meaning of life. And he's saying all of these other things are vanity if you do not have the Lord as the priority in your life. And so when we come to our text of Scripture, Solomon is giving something of this counsel. He punctuates the book with that word vanity. And he wants to underline that, but when he comes to give counsel here, he's speaking really about sowing and reaping. This is a harvest text, and this is the text that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this service this morning. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And of course, there's spiritual application in these words. It's really speaking to us about the Lord's servants and about our labors for the Lord, our service in seeking to win others for the Lord and to witness for the Lord. And so firstly, I want you to notice with me from the text of Scripture the practice of the Lord's servants. Cast thy bread upon the waters. That's what we're to be engaged in. That's to be the practice of the servant of the Lord. Cast thy bread upon the waters. The word bread there in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 1 is translated in Isaiah 28 and the verse 28 as bread corn. Bread corn. And therefore it's referring to a seed. And it's referring to a very valuable seed. And seed in itself is not to be kept and just stored up for the sake of having seed. The purpose of the seed is that it would be sown. And the command that's given here is to cast that seed. Cast thy bread upon the waters. It's to be scattered. If you're casting forth, you're sowing and you're scattering in a very liberal, in a very plentiful way. Isn't that speaking to us about our service? If you're going to be harvesting, there's much preparation to be put in. There's much toil and labor before you would ever experience a harvest. And here is our service for the Lord, going forth to the field to sow the good seed of the gospel. It requires effort. It requires toil. It requires labor for the Lord. Speaking to us about our service, and of course speaking about the Scriptures, God has blessed us with His Word. Whenever you think about the parable of the sower, it tells us the seed is the Word of God. And the image here in our text of Scripture, cast thy bread upon the waters, the Lord has entrusted us with His Word. He has given to us the seed of the gospel, and we're not to store it up or keep it to ourselves. It is to be sown. It is to be shared. It's a precious and a valuable seed containing the greatest message that we could ever tell. Though the challenge today in our service for the Lord is that we would engage in that practice of casting our bread. Cast thy bread upon the waters. It's like Psalm 126 and the verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I know it's for those who are those laborers and workers for the Lord. Are we doing our bit to see that the seed of the gospel would be going forth? whether we're seeking to cast it forth ourselves or to support others who would be taking forward that message. Cast thy bread upon the waters. It has to do with a giving here, a giving forth. In fact, if you look at the second verse of our Bible reading, you will see that verse 2 commences with that word, give, give. So this is to do with our liberality, with our giving. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. And so there's a giving out here, a reaching out to others. And surely there is to be that compassion within the heart of every believer, every child of God. We want to reach others for the Lord. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. Strange words to us. That verse 2 is actually here contains what we could call a Hebrewism. Give a portion to 7. The number 7 in the Bible is a very significant number. And numbers, of course, have their meaning in Scripture. And the number 7 is the number of completion or perfection. And you could think of many 7s in the Bible. 7s that the Lord has put in place, 7 days in the week. There were 7 lamps on the lampstand. There were 7 cries from the cross. There were 7 churches in Asia in the book of the Revelation, the 7 letters of the Lord. So the number 7 is speaking about that which is complete. And if you've given to 7, it's as if you've given there to completion. But then it says, and also to 8. So when you've given to 7, give to 8 as well. And that Hebrewism is speaking to us about liberality and generosity. That when you think here you've given to completion, give to the 8th as well. And so there was the challenge here. The challenge here over their giving and the casting of their bread upon the waters. It's giving over and above. We could maybe use the term going the second mile. That's a similar expression. Then our giving, let's seek to give as the Lord has enabled us. And we are to cast our bread upon the waters. The waters. Matthew Henry would tell us that the waters and the Scripture can be figurative language for multitudes of people. And here is that bread or that seed that's to go out to the multitudes. Isaiah 32 and the verse 20 says, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Sow beside all waters. Cast thy bread upon the waters, seeking to reach out to those around us, whether it's locally or whether it's going into all the world with the message of the gospel right out onto the mission field. The Free Presbyterian Church is a relatively small denomination. It may have sent forth to the far-flung corners of the world those that have sought to go forth, yea, and even from this congregation here. They've wanted to carry that good seed. They're going to cast their bread upon the waters. And I know that there has been that practical support of those at home, even to uphold them in that way, and enabling them to carry forth the word of life, to cast their bread upon the waters. And so this practice of the Lord's servants, it's speaking to us of our service, it's speaking to us of the Scriptures going forth, but surely it's speaking to us about the Savior. John 6 and the verse 35, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And so the casting of our bread upon the waters is a taking forth of the message of the gospel of Christ. What bread is to the body, the Savior is to the soul. What bread is to the body physically, the Savior is to the soul spiritually. And he's the one who is able to nourish and to enrich the heart, the one who's able to bring that life. Man shall not live by bread alone, that's in the physical sense, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there's that spiritual life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And the message that we have as custodians of the gospel, we need to be those laborers for the Lord. Cast thy bread upon the waters. The practice of the Lord's servants. But secondly, the promise to the Lord's servants. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it. Thou shalt find it. You dwell upon those words, you find that the language there is so positive. The language is so definite that it constitutes a promise from the Lord. Casting bread upon the waters. If you think about that, even if you had seed and you were throwing it on the water, that would just sink down into the water. It would seem like a pointless exercise. Why would you ever do that? Why would you cast seed upon the water? Well, the idea here seems to have come from that reference to the Nile. And whenever it was the time for the sowing of the seed, the Nile River was overflowing its banks onto the fields. And so the fields, the rich, fertile soil, was actually covered in water. But they could go forth with the seed and cast it upon the waters. And it would sink down through the water to the soil. And whenever the waters would recede, they would find that that good seed had actually entered into the soil and it had taken root there, and therefore they would reap a harvest. And so what seemed a pointless exercise wasn't pointless after all. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it. You'll find it. And sometimes when we're laboring for the Lord, and we're sowing the seed, and whenever capacity you're serving the Lord, maybe you would seek to witness within your family or to witness to those around you, those that you work with, or you would even go on outreach, or you would teach in the Sunday school class, the children's meeting, the youth fellowship, whatever capacity you would seek to serve the Lord, sometimes you might feel you're laboring in vain. Don't seem to be getting anywhere. Don't seem to be seeing any results here. There doesn't seem to be the souls getting saved that we would love to see getting saved. That can be difficult. Here's a verse of encouragement for you. Maybe those that you've been praying for a long time and you don't see any change. Maybe rather the situation seems to be getting worse. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it. That's a promise here from the Lord. Thou shalt find it. And that word find there has to do with, as we would think, you succeed in finding it. And you're securing it by finding it. And so cast forth the seed, for it's certainly not a lost cause. Thou shalt find it. Whenever we think of the words in Isaiah, the chapter 55, there in the verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. When the word of God goes forth, the promise from the Lord is that word does not go forth in vain. It will not return void. It will not return empty. The Lord will prosper that which he pleases, and it will accomplish for the Lord. Even in our Bible reading in Ecclesiastes and the chapter 11, the verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. The Lord is saying to us through His Word today, keep on sowing. Keep on sowing that good seed of the gospel, for thou shalt find it. There may be difficulties, there may be those things that come across our pathway that make sowing the seed more difficult work. Verse 4 of our Bible reading, it speaks about the wind and the clouds. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And you could think there about the clouds, the dark clouds begin together. Dark clouds that are maybe hanging over you and they're hindering you from sowing the good seed. Maybe the winds of adversity come across your pathway and they would be hindering you in your labors for the Lord. I've just completed a little study in the minor prophecy of Haggai. And the difficulty in the days of Haggai was that God's people had ceased laboring for Him. They had a responsibility to build the house of the Lord, but for one reason and another, the work had ceased. And the Lord touched the heart of Haggai and gave him that message to go to the people. You know what the people had been saying? The time is not right. Oh, it's a good work to do to build the house for the Lord, but the circumstances, the conditions have changed and the time is not right. I have heard that said today. I have heard that said about the times that we're living in. COVID-19, oh, the conditions have changed. The circumstances are difficult. The time is not right to do this or to do that. They are difficult days. There are obstacles in our way today. But we have to seek the means by which we can still sow the seed. And I know that even you as a congregation have done that. You've had your drive-in services. You have broadcast the word going out over the internet online. We can still sow the good seed of the gospel. And here's a promise. It'll not be in vain. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it. Thou shalt find it. I want you to notice here, thirdly, the patience of the Lord's servant. Then Ecclesiastes 11 and the verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. After many days. We get very impatient, don't we? We like to see results because we live in a day where everything is instant and everything can happen immediately. And we want to see it right now. But results may not be seen immediately in the Lord's work. And therefore, it does require patience. James, that little epistle, he speaks about the farmer, the husbandman. And he says in James 5 and the verse 7, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. The farmer has to be a patient man. He can't sow one day and expect to reap the next day. He hath long patience for it. And he has to wait for that time to pass and for the Lord, as you were singing, to water the earth and to give the increase. And if the farmer has to have long patience, surely the child of God laboring for the Lord, we need to wait patiently on the Lord for the spiritual harvest. Paul said to the Galatians, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. There's times when we do feel weary in the work of the Lord. There's times, I'm sure, when God's people almost reach that point of fainting. But one day the Lord has promised that He will give that increase. Thou shalt find it after many days. And so in that intervening period, we have to patiently wait on the Lord. Then the Lord's time. The Lord has promised to bless those labors and that there will be that spiritual harvest. and that precious souls will be the saved of the Lord. You would have heard of John Newton. John Newton, as a young boy, he was nurtured in the things of God by his mother, a godly mother who sought to sow the good seed of the gospel to her son. And she sought to teach him the things of God and to pray for him. And it was at a young age that John Newton's mother died. And at a young age, he took to the seas, and he eventually became involved in the slave trade, and he was living a very sinful lifestyle. And on one occasion, out in the open seas, on board the ship called the Greyhound, they hit a great storm, and in the midst of the storm, John Newton turned to the Lord and cried for mercy. And the seed that had been sown many, many years before, that seed came to fruition within the heart of John Newton. And at that very point, he came as a sinner to the Savior, and he was gloriously converted. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And the Word of God, that good seed of the gospel, it's described by the Apostle Peter as that incorruptible seed. The seed which is incorruptible, it liveth and abideth forever. Though that we would seek to cast our bread upon the waters, and may we find it, even if it is after many days. May the Lord bless His Word to our hearts this morning. I do thank you for listening attentively to God's Word, and I trust that the Lord will encourage you as you seek to serve Him. Thank you.
The hymn 735, appropriately, is our closing hymn this morning. Think of the challenge of these words, the question that's being asked. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday's glare? So 735, again, the words are on the screens, and we're going to stand as we sing all the verses together, please.
No.
want to thank the Reverend Kenny for coming along and ministering to us today. We want to assure him that his ministry has been a blessing to our hearts. We've known the Lord's presence as he's spoken. He has known the Lord's help as he's opened up the scriptures. We've both been challenged and encouraged by the word of God. The message has been a great blessing to our hearts. So I want to thank him sincerely for his ministry to us today. So let's seek the Lord's face as we commit ourselves into his hands. Father, we do with thanksgiving lift our hearts to thee at the end of the meeting. Thank you for prayer. Pray that even on this harvest Sabbath day, that you'll be pleased, Father, to give us a little ingathering of precious souls coming to Christ. We want to commit the remainder of the day to thee. Be with us tonight. Come down in blessing and in power upon the preaching of the gospel. Lord, we ask that you'll use your servant. We pray, Father, that he will come amidst us, amongst us tonight, even as a mighty soul winner. And Lord, abide with us through today and through this week. May we know the help of God, the guidance of the Lord. We pray that you'll keep us faithful and help us in all we do to let our light shine before men. Hear these our cries, and may the blessing of the triune God, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name.